Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today I have Marilyn joining me to talk about Google Business Profiles. So Marilyn, do you want to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I've been working with local businesses since the late 90s. Doing everything from their website to helping them do marketing. And obviously through the course of Google Places, through Google My Business to the current Google Business Profile, helping them get found locally and be found in the searches organically so they're not paying for marketing.
That is fantastic. So my listeners, you know, we jump around the type of topics that we talk about. I get a lot of feedback and I think it's working, the variety that we're doing of these episodes, but I want to really sprinkle in. Some are actually growing the flowers, but we're really focusing more episodes in 2025 in helping farmers have the resources they need to sell their flowers. And unfortunately, you know, the business isn't just having a big garden, it's selling the products and reaching the customers. So I have a group, a community that I coach. We call it Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products. And over and over again, that's what I'm told is, I don't want to be a social media star. I don't want to have to be a photographer. I'm not a salesman. I feel weird charging money. I don't want, you know, all the business things. And the fact is, the more you can get comfortable with them and the more you can learn about little tools so they're not overwhelming, the more you're going to be successful. And so I'm really excited to talk about a Google Business Profile.
Fantastic. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing about it is if you have a social media following on Facebook and you put out a new post, Facebook's going to show that to about 10% of your followers. Where if you take that information and you put it on your Google Business Profile, you're telling Google every time you post something, the more searches you're relevant for. And that's where people are searching for you, right?
Yeah.
So people don't think about the importance of your Google Business Profile because they keep thinking of it being called Google My Business. And it was just a place to store reviews. That was it. Did nothing else. Every so often when Google updates from, and Google Business Profile is like the ninth iteration of the Google Places type thing, they add a lot of features. This time was the most dramatic amount of features. So if you think about, I don't want to be great at social media, then be great at Google Business Profile. You take those talents and put them someplace that will pay you back faster. Because imagine when you're a consumer, and I know I've just totally taken over the conversation, but
no, that's okay. That's when, okay. There you usually consumer. I do solo episodes, so please go ahead. No, you're great.
Perfect. Perfect. So say you're out with a girlfriend and you decide, you know, we're chilling out for a day and we're like, let's go grab a pizza. Perfect. What are you going to do? You're a consumer. You grab your phone. You look for a local pizza place, right? So that is the Google Business Profile. Now, what you want to do is make sure that Google has enough information in your Google Business Profile to make sure you show up on the maps. Because when you look at the at real estate of Google, the very top are paid ads. The pretty colorful map in the middle and the three listings are the next down. Google says 60 to 80% of the people that search that click on it. Not the paid ads, but on the map. Hmm. And that's free for you to be there. So you want to be there. Now, there's several things, of course, that relate to how close they are. How relevant? Do you have the right keywords? Are you posting the content they're looking for? But it works for every business to make sure Google knows what you do, where you are, and all the things that you offer. And we can talk about the different aspects of the Google Business Profile and how that builds over time. But you should be doing something every week.
So why don't you reiterate on that a little bit? Like, what should I be doing every week? What things can we do to get our business noticed and show up in more searches?
Okay. First, you want to, if you don't have it and you haven't claimed it, you need to claim it and verify it. So if you think about a Google Business Profile, any of you guys old enough to remember the Yellow Pages, right? It's almost like Google took the Yellow Pages and brought them all in and gave everybody a listing. So every time a business is created, whether it's by business license or registration, all of a sudden a Google Business Profile is there. You search for it. If it's there, there's a little link that says claim this listing. Make sure that you verify it, which means most of the people, they used to be, they would mail a postcard, and what we're seeing across the board with all the people I network with is we're having to do video verifications. And what that is you have within your, on your phone, within the app, you have to go show the sign or the address, go unlock your, and if it's a farm, you just unlock your area that a customer can't walk into. So you're proving you're a business. You upload it, you're verified. Now you make sure you put your name, address, and phone number in that. And the name has to be the exact name of your business, mm-hmm. not Maryland's Flower Farm in my city on my street and I do these flowers. No, mm-hmm. it's got to be the actual name. You can't keyword load it. So you do those and then you choose your categories. The categories are super important. You get, depending on your location, between 3 or 7. And you just, they're pre-designed, right? You choose them. And if there are multiple categories for what you provide, put them in order, priority order of what type of business you want. So now you've got your name, address, and phone number, which is called the NAP, right? That's super important. Then you want to fill out photos, videos. You get everything in there you possibly can. And when I say that, there's a management portal that will actually, there's several versions of it because Google rolls out upgrades, but you can go in your management portal and see the things that need to be added. You should have your logo. You should have a picture of your farm, like your farm on your website. That'd be my cover image if I were you. Mm-hmm. And you can have a video. So once you get all of that in, then is where you want to start adding content. Now you got to think about maybe like think blog. Okay. That if you're going to equate it to something you already know, there are products and services. That's new with Google Business Profile. There's questions and answers. That's new. And then there's posts, which are new. Now, the Q&A would be something like your frequently asked questions, right? I've had businesses ask me, well, I wouldn't ask myself a question. I would wait for somebody to ask. But we all have FAQs. Why not feed it to them?
So, you know, what are your hours? When can I come visit? Do you do wedding flowers or whatever those might be?
Yeah,
and those will show
exactly.
up on the profile. This is all brand new to me. I feel I'm like, wow, okay. I didn't know this. I mean, I think
your hours of operation are there. That's one of the things. If your hours change, reach around holidays or anything like that, you need to keep those up to date.
As my farm is growing, starting this summer, we will have, for the first time ever, we will have a store that has open hours. Previous to this, it was almost, you had to reserve a bouquet, you could pick it up, but you couldn't just come here and shop and hang out, right? We live here, okay. It's a farm, but we're after, I mean, it's been 5 years and I bet I've answered the question. I'm not kidding when I say 1,000 times, it's like, when are you open? When are you, like, and again, we realized that, hey, a store would do really well here with other buying products from other farmers and having that time that they can come. Now, just because we're going to have business hours doesn't mean that they can just come and pick flowers anytime they want, but like the store mm-hmm. itself will be open. And again, just to have that on there, but you're saying like, I mean, you can update it every week with holiday hours.
Yes.
You can, and should be, right? Because people aren't checking. I don't check things a week ahead of time. I check things that day. Like, what are the hours today? When you say photos, videos, how many should you have? Because are you finding that people will just, if they have enough information off of the Google Business Profile, they don't even go to your website? You know, is that?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Because there's the choice that there's the clicking of, you've got the website button. You've mm-hmm. got a directions button. You've got a call button. And depending on the phone number you put on, there could be a chat button. Mm-hmm. So you want to give people every possible way of reaching you. And yeah, if they go to your website, that's great for more information. But the key is, as opposed to like we're talking about social media, if my customer is on Google, I want to make sure I give them everything that they can reach me for right there. When you say you've got your store hours that are for this, but you have other things that they can make appointments for, I'd make that an FAQ as soon as you open the store. Put your office hours there or the hours there. And the mm-hmm. one thing that was kind of new last fall, which as the holidays were coming around, is when you update your hours and so you come up in the Google Maps, it'll actually say last updated. in your day. Well, so nice. Let's think about, say your competition yourself, someone's looking for it and it looks, you've updated most recently and they haven't. Okay. So then they're going to come to you thinking, oh, well, her hours are probably more correct.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And it makes a big difference. I had a client that for some reason their walk-in traffic dropped to zero almost on Tuesdays and they couldn't figure out what happened. So we got to looking and somehow their Google Business profile had been changed to closed on Tuesday. So as soon as that was fixed, within a couple of weeks, their walk-in traffic had picked back up. So you're right. People look at today and they're going today.
Yeah. And that's honestly, my Google Business profile is part of the reason why a couple of years ago, I had it set to always open. Because if you don't have set hours, there isn't an option. So it's either always open or I don't even know if there's a buy appointment only.
I think there is now.
I think that's what I have it. I think that's what I have it set to now is by appointment only, but that wasn't an option before. It was either you had hours, you were closed or permanently closed or always open. And so I put
permanent closed is the death trap.
Yeah, exactly. So I put always open and guess what happened? People showed up at my house constantly. And so the by appointment only is huge. That's a really good option. And yeah, knowing that I can update the hours and this is going to be, like I said, my business is going through a major, major kind of restructuring. My farm is this summer as we're building our new space and, having classes and workshops and stuff. But
well, that's
right
exciting.
Now, it is very exciting. Yeah. Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy and I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks. Is there a way to like edit things in draft mode or is it like updates have to be?
Yeah. I mean, because you can update as often as you want, this is your business information. And I just feel it's easier to think of it as a blog. As far as draft, I think you can on the posts part of it.
Yep.
So I see that you have a blog on your website, right? Mm-hmm. So you would write a blog post and you would have an image on it. You would take that and you'd put that on your Google Business profile. And what they would do is you've got the image and it would give you an excerpt and then say, read more. And that read more will go back to your website. So now we're talking a very extremely high authority domain backlink to your website. That's the other big advantage of having posts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the post should be whatever's relevant. Posts used to age off in a week. They now age off in 6 months. So what we do for our clients is we do 1 to 2 articles a week. And they are whatever's trending or whatever they want to promote. And then the post itself, the whole blog post is on their blog. So what we're doing is we're constantly telling Google new stuff. And here's more information. The keywords are in there about, your flower farm and your city. And this is the flowers. And I saw on your subscriptions. So I would have the subscription set up as services or products.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With those, you're also photos and backlinks to your website, links to the actual purchase page of the subscription. So your Google Business profile could be just an innumerable number of backlinks to your website from the highest domain authority on the internet right now.
I think that it's, as a business owner, you try to focus on, you almost have to do 1 or 2 things really well, right? And then you add on, and then you add on. And, finding where your customers are, where your clients are. It's nice that Facebook and Instagram are integrated, right? So you can have your posts pushed to both, but at the same time, you can kind of manage it in Business Suite, and then of course there's keeping up with your email and then there's, whatever. But to me, it just makes so much sense that your Google Business profile is kind of the one that totally, admittedly, before this conversation, it's like, oh yeah, it's set. It just needs to exist. It just needs to exist, when that might be your only chance at seeing a customer.
Yeah. Like, well, think about, Google is the number one search engine, right? Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because you get what you want when you search for it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the zero click search. So if you ask a question and there's a video that has the answer, they will not only give you the video, they will timestamp it so you can start and get your answer before, without ever leaving. So they are very interested in the user experience. Mm-hmm. And by you being involved and engaged with your Google Business profile, even once a week for like 10 minutes, add something. I'm not saying sit down and add 2,000 things to your Google Business profile today. It's mm-hmm. going to be way more valuable if you do a little bit every week. But get the basics done now, and then like pick your slowest day of the week in 15 minutes and do something. And Google says, she's involved. Mm-hmm. They're active. And if you have less reviews than your biggest competition, you could outrank them because you have updated most recently mm-hmm. and you're engaged.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the local visibility is so important for my listeners. I mean, it's locally grown perishable products, right? Like it's, yes. It's that reach is very close. I run two businesses. I run the flower farm and then I run the coaching business that have two entirely different audiences, two entirely mm-hmm. different profiles. It's the same, but you know, just having to wrap my head around remembering how to market this and how to market that, it's entirely different.
Yeah. But if it just, you know, let Google do the work for you as far as your Google Business profile goes. You know, I put together a book that walks through the Google Business profile training guide that gives you a lot of detail about that. It's available on Amazon.
Yeah, we'll put the link in our episode notes. We'll put that in there.
Absolutely. And if you're looking at more local visibility, there's a 2025 book that I wrote for law firms, which is the same for any local business. The same details apply, but that's for even more greater local visibility. But I think it's important to realize it doesn't have to take forever. Yes, you can outsource it. Yes, my company does it. We do it for a lot of companies. There's a lot of people out there that do it. But I did the book simply because a lot of people that come to me are not quite ready to outsource. And you don't have to. If you can spend 15, 20 minutes a week and update something, confirm that everything's the same, you know, just grow it. And think of your Google as another Instagram. If you're doing IG, you should do something on Google.
Yeah. How many photos do you think would be good to have on there?
I think at the top is, I think you got one video and 10 photos, and then okay. You can rotate those. Now, what I would do with the photos is I would turn location services on your phone and take the photos with location services on. Then when you save them off your phone, you know where it says that's titled like image and these like 20 numbers and then a date? Change it to say Sunny Mary Meadow, this flower, February 2025. Make it named something that is a keyword. Mm-hmm. And then the location data will already be set. So that's your map. Right? Your map pin.
Yeah.
So do that. And then the advantage is that you can request that your clients, when they give you a review, post photos as well. So that doesn't count towards your limit. You also can add photos on posts, add photos on products and services.
Nice. So what would you recommend, real simple, because of course everything is simple, a good way to get more reviews for your business?
The best thing is to have a QR code. If you are seeing people, right, and they're coming and they're paying you, have a QR code at your cash register or your point of sale and say, would you please give us a review? Have it on your farm stand. Have it anywhere that you are. Review us on Google. Okay. Mm-hmm. If not, then I would take that link, which is super, super, super long. And you want the link that's the pop-up, right? Yep. Not, I don't want them to have to go searching for me. The pop-up. You could take that link and shorten it, and you can put that in an email. Mm-hmm. You could put it in a thank you card. Emails are very good, but you want to make it super simple. And you always want to ask for a review at least 3 times, because the first time they're going to be like, yep, I'm going to do that.
Yep.
And then I'm driving home. Right? Yep. So if you have it on your point of sale, on your receipt, anything like that, that makes it super simple, and then email them or text them, ask them 3 times for a review. Mm-hmm. Obviously not right in the row, but that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. I've seen
but you want to also make sure you do deliver world-class experience, you know, that will make them remember
you. Exactly. You can ask all you want, but if the service isn't there, it's you know, it's definitely, as you continue to grow in business, it's good to take that feedback and, you know, to learn, but you also want it to be authentic. You want them to have a relationship with you. And I usually don't like to leave a review with a business as a business owner until I've done business with them a couple times. Because it's my name on there, it's my integrity. People can see it's me leaving this review, and I just want to know for sure. And I'm not someone that really leaves negative reviews. If I have a bad experience, I'm gonna, because I understand what it's like to be a business owner and I understand that things happen. And I will be the person that, I mean, if I have a really bad experience, I don't know what it would even be. You know, if you get your pizza and it's literally not cooked or something. Like I would go back, I would try to explain it. I wouldn't leave a review on Google
No,
saying,
that's not
oh,
my first
whatever.
option.
And
No, I
that's,
agree.
you know, and I think most people are like that, but that's the fear, right? I mean, there is one-star review from 3 years ago that I don't even know how to respond to it, and I keep going to do it, and I need to just respond, but it was an entire miscommunication that she made it seem like I didn't, you know, and I clicked on her profile and it's like, that pizza was cold and left a one star and left a one star for, you know, just different things. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my energy and I'm just going to keep getting more 5 stars. I don't know what else to say. Like, I just.
Well, and you're right, the 5 stars overrate that, outrank that. But it is important, and it is incredibly important in the eyes of Google that you reply to each review, whether it's good or bad, right? And you can reply with your keywords, right? Just make it, do that. But the negative ones, like when I'm looking at somebody, I will look at the negative reviews to see how the business owner replied and to see who left the negative review, because sometimes it's disgruntled employees. Sometimes it's somebody just having a bad day. You can kind of read the room when you also read what they're saying. And then, but you see what the business owner came back with, a professional response,
And
you
that's,
know?
and I need to, honestly, it's long story, but she had asked me, like, do you do weddings? And this must have been in like June at a public place. And I was like, yeah, well, reach out to me, send me an email when it's closer, and like, I'll let you know. As of now, like, we don't really do that, but you know, if it's just a quick bouquet. This was a couple years ago when I just had flowers. I think she must have sent me an email that September and it was busy in my season and the email got missed. But there was no contract. There was no communication. There was no like, I'm doing her wedding flowers. And she's like, she completely ghosted me. She was supposed to do my wedding flowers. And I'm like, no, I wasn't. That is not what happened. But I
Then I
didn't.
would reply with exactly that, just
Exactly.
because people are going
Exactly.
to see, you get frustrated,
Yep.
right? And
And now
flustered about.
now I feel like I can say on there like, hey, that was before we really did weddings. Now we do. Now we have tons of happy brides on there. We have a process. It's not just send me an email the week of the wedding. Like, of course I'm not doing wedding flowers that way. But I've just been, I don't even know how to respond. And I need to go do that. Like, so this is a good little reminder that I need to go on there and do that. But sometimes it's like, man, this is exhausting. But I can see how that is so important. So I've seen little, you can buy them online. Like a little machine, right? A little point of, you know, you scan it, you tap it, and it brings you to Google. But I would just think that a printed out picture of the QR would be just as simple.
Exactly. Some of our clients have little acrylic stands, that you'll see in restaurants, and that's what it says. It's just clear, and it'll say, "Leave us a review," and maybe it's white, or "Leave us a review," and it has the QR code on it, and they just shoot it. I've seen restaurants that have it in their little wallet thingy that they put that's the technical term for it, that they put their, bill in. So yeah, something simple like that. I've seen people that print the QR code and put it on their business cards or their thank you cards. So make it simple. And I think that's the thing. And I do want to caution, if you have not been receiving very many reviews, don't run out and ask all your past clients to give you a review. Because if you are normally getting like two or three a month and suddenly you get 10 this week, Google's going to bank all of those and they're not going to let them be. They're going to gatekeep them. It's out of
It's
character,
out
it's
of
out of
character.
frequency. So, but if you're usually getting like four or five a month and you go back and you ask two or three old clients to come and do it and they do, so now you get six or seven this month, that's fine, right? Your business is growing, you're getting a few more. But if you get like you get 20 when you normally get five, they're going to gatekeep those, assuming that they're fake.
And I think that what I love about it is, as a consumer, I think that, you know, so on the other side of it, on the consumer side of it, I get very, I'm not hard to please. I'm not picky. I'm not, you know, whatever. But if something seems off or something seems inauthentic or seems, you know, or if constantly before I even sit down, like, leave us a Google review. I'm like, I just got here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, that feels weird to me too. But I
Yeah,
think,
no, I mean, it's
having
got
at
to
the
be
checkout.
appropriate, but I think it should be part of your business process. Every local business, every small business, it needs to be part of your process. Because here's what I'm saying. Franchises, unless they're locally owned franchises, they're not doing this. You want to beat your competition, you need to be doing the little things that the corporate is not doing.
So what made you interested in this? How did this come to be?
I love helping my clients grow with getting their internet marketing right. And again, it was just like I've done a lot of networking, a lot of conversations and coaching of companies that just aren't at the point of outsourcing and spending $2,000 a month to have somebody to do all their marketing for them. So it's still so valuable. And when it went from Google My Business to Google Business Profile, Google didn't really tell everybody all the things that are available. And it's like, it's so powerful. And I want to see small businesses grow. I've been a serial entrepreneur my entire adult life, and I've had the little business that the big one was the competition, and I can win by doing the little things they don't get around to doing. And that's what Google Business Profile allows you to do.
Yes, absolutely. And I think if I'm willing to bet, I bet 80% of my listeners are going, "Oh crap, I got to do that." Just like me.
Well, the thing is, it's just to get started. Don't let it be like this big, heavy cloud over your head. Just know this is something I have to do. Get my book. It's easy enough. Or just go to Google. You can follow their support. It's just mine's a little bit very well diagrammed. So, yeah, I mean, it's something, it's so incredibly important for you to do as opposed, if you're taking your time spending doing TikToks and Instagram and Facebook, that's great. Take that content and put it on your Google Business Profile because Google can send you customers. That means money. TikTok, maybe.
Well, thank you so much, Marilyn. This was very helpful. I'm going to put the notes to your website and to the multiple Amazon books that you talked about, both Google Business Profile and the updated one that uses this specific example of law firms, but it's a local business. Local business is local
Yes.
business. So, I mean,
Yeah.
that's what people, I get people all the time that listen that don't grow flowers, but they're running a perishable product, small business based, people that have a bakery, people that have a whatever. It's it
Absolutely.
all applies. It all
It
applies.
does.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.